And welcome back to WDOT Port Washington. This is Sports in the Morning. I'm Zach.
And I'm Gavin.
And today we have a very special guest joining us, Kenny Albert. Kenny is the only current broadcaster to work all four major sports, baseball, basketball, football, and hockey, on networks such as TNT, MSG, NBC, Fox, and ESPN. So once again, we'd like to welcome in Emmy Award winner and acclaimed play-by-play broadcaster, Kenny Albert. Kenny, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. How are you?
Doing good. So before we begin, I'd like to just tell you that I started reading your book, A Mike for All Seasons, and I found out that all three of us have a lot of things in common. We all went to Daly Elementary School, we all went to Shibley Day Camp, and now Schreiber High School. You also mentioned how you broadcast games from your house. Gavin and I actually do that all the time for all the Thursday night football games and some Knick games.
Well, it's great to chat with you guys, and I have so many terrific memories from all of the places you mentioned. My time at Daly Elementary School, and then I went on to Sousa Junior High School, which I know is now an elementary school, so you probably were at Weber.
Yep.
And then spent 3 years at Schreiber, graduated in 1986, Shibley Day Camp as well. So sounds like you guys are on the same path, so great to chat with you.
Yeah, so how did growing up in a prestigious broadcasting family affect your decision to become a broadcaster?
Well, I guess looking back, it affected me in a huge way. From such a young age, I started to announce games into a tape recorder in my bedroom, and it's really all that I ever wanted to do. Growing up around it with a father and two uncles in the business, always loved all sports, really enjoyed doing play-by-play from such a young age. And when I was old enough, I would start bringing that tape recorder to events at Madison Square Garden and Shea Stadium. And as you might have read in the book, I'm not sure if you are this far through, but I did a lot of sports writing for the Port Washington News,
the Schreiber Times. Yeah, we both wrote right for that as well.
I was sports editor of the Schreiber Times my junior and senior years. And when I was in 10th grade, I was in the gym at Schreiber covering a girls' basketball game, and a local cable station, Cox Cable from Great Neck, happened to show up at the school. And their plan was to film the game with two cameras. They had a small production van. And the athletic director at the time, Tom Romeo, introduced me to the producer from Cox Cable, Roy Menton, and I volunteered to announce the game. He clipped a microphone onto my shirt. I sat in the second or third row behind the team bench and announced the game for Cox Cable, spoke to the producer the next day, and he gave me the opportunity, turns out, over the next 2.5 years to broadcast about 100 games all over Long Island, and I would bring friends along as color commentators, and it was such a great experience, just getting the reps, and felt like I had a head start on other kids my age at the time who wouldn't really get that opportunity until college.
How did you feel before your first game broadcasting on national television?
Well, that would have been, about 8 years after the initial game in the Schreiber gym. So throughout college, broadcasted a lot of games on the radio, and then worked in minor league hockey for 2 years, mostly radio, a little bit of television, and then was hired by Home Team Sports in Washington to do the Capitals games locally. So the first game on national TV would have been an NFL game in 94, which did not go to the entire country. It went to a small portion, but it was on a national network. So thinking back, I was 26 years old at the time. Fox was in its first season as a sports department covering NFL games, and myself and three other play-by-play broadcasters at the time, Joe Buck, Kevin Harlan, and Tom Brenneman, we were all hired at a young age and given a great opportunity. And looking back, it's hard to believe how young we all were, but amazingly, 30 years later, just completed my 30th season with Fox and doing national games through the years, baseball, hockey as well. So thinking back to that first one, it was certainly exciting. I remember so much about that day, and very fortunate to get hired by Fox back in the summer of 1994.
Yeah, so as you just said, you've worked all four major sports. What are the challenges to each of the sports?
Well, they're all different, from a play-by-play aspect, although there are definitely similarities. I prepare similarly for all sports, although football certainly takes up the most volume of time because you're never really following one team around. You could be assigned two teams late in the season that you haven't done all year. And, you know, there are 50 to 60 players on each side, and you really have to kind of catch up and study their entire season up until that point. With hockey and basketball, which I'm involved with this time of year, the teams play so many games, so I'm watching games. I'm, you know, doing a lot of reading, going to coach press conferences, going to practices, talking to players. So I go through the same checklist for each and every game, no matter what the sport is. You know, as far as the play-by-play, hockey, people always ask me, and they think that it's the hardest. To me, it's actually the easiest. I've done it the longest. It's sort of like riding a bike. Basketball is similar, but a little bit of a slower pace than hockey. Football, it's the most rhythmic. It's one play and then 20 or 25 seconds, then another play, 20 or 25 seconds. Baseball, to me, is the most challenging if you don't do it all the time because of all the downtime between pitches, between batters, although it's quicker now with the introduction of the pitch clock. But you know, and then I've also done some other sports that don't have balls or pucks. I've worked some boxing, some track and field, did volleyball at the Olympics, so always enjoy the challenge of working some of those other sports. But again, as far as the actual play-by-play, some similarities to all of them, but a lot of differences as well. And then there's also the difference between radio and television. I worked a Knicks-Denver game last night on the TV side, Rangers radio tonight, and then a Knicks radio game tomorrow. So on TV, you don't have to talk as much. There's more time to allow your color analyst to come in. On radio, you have to be a lot more descriptive because the listeners can't see what you're describing. You have to give the score and time a lot more often as well on the radio side.
What's your favorite sport to broadcast out of all of them that you've done over the years?
Well, very fortunate that I don't have to pick a favorite, that I'm involved in four different sports throughout the year. Growing up, hockey was my favorite. Played hockey for the club team in high school and college. That was really my goal, was to do hockey on the radio, and that was the first job with the minor league team in Baltimore. But really love them all. I mean, football, there's nothing like 1 o'clock on a Sunday when they kick off and you know millions of people are watching. Really enjoy doing about 15 Knicks games a year with Walt Clyde Frazier and the MSG crew, and I'm working about 10 or 12 baseball games a year and really enjoy that as well. So football and hockey are the two that I'm most associated with, but really love them all. It's like asking which kid you like best if you have four kids, right?
Yeah.
Again, very fortunate that I don't have to pick one.
So I know you've called some big games in your career, such as the 2012 Super Bowl, the 2021 and 2023 Stanley Cup Finals. Is there a different level of pressure for a game or a series like that?
You do feel it a little bit. You know, again, I prepare the same for every game that I'm working, whether it is the Super Bowl, and I did work that World Feed, the international telecast, back in 2012, as you mentioned. Stanley Cup Final, I've worked two on the TV side and eight on the radio side. I've worked football divisional playoff games. You know, those probably had the biggest audiences of all the events that I've ever worked, the five divisional games between 2008 and 2012. I've worked some college bowl games and baseball playoff games. The Bautista home run is one that I often get asked about with the Blue Jays back
yep,
in 2015.
We're actually going to ask you about that soon.
So you do feel a little extra pressure because there is a bigger audience and there's a bigger focus on the game. But I think once the game starts, you really don't think about it. You kind of do it like it's any other game, but definitely more pressure and more focus on those games that you mentioned.
Can you tell us what it was like to call four different sports in 4 days back in October of 2009?
You know, those times are a lot of fun, those periods where I have multiple sports. Even this year during football season, there were many occasions where I might have had a football game, a hockey game, and a basketball game within 3 or 4 days of each other. But the period you referenced, I had all four in a short stretch, and it's a lot of fun. You know, I really enjoy the variety, and I feel like during those times I'm even more focused and organized because, you know, you have to get the work done in advance. And, you know, even this week I had a hockey game in San Jose Tuesday, hockey game in Seattle Wednesday, basketball game at MSG last night, and then hockey tonight, basketball tomorrow. So it's five games in 5 days, two different sports, West Coast, East Coast, but it's a lot of fun. I never really feel like I'm working, even though there's a lot of work and travel that goes into it. So very fortunate in that respect as well.
So how did you come up with the idea to write your own book?
So it's a good question. I felt like I had a lot of stories, and through the years, through a lot of interviews such as this one with high school and college students, I speak at sports casting camps throughout the summer, several of them every year for the last 20 or 25 years. And I always am asked great questions similar to the ones that you've asked over the last little while. And, you know, felt like I always wanted to put these stories to paper. Enjoyed writing back in the high school and college days. Wrote the book myself, no ghostwriter. My family certainly helped out, my wife and kids, but, you know, I wrote it primarily for the most part. It was, 95% me at the computer keyboard. And really during the pandemic, when we all had a lot of extra time on our hands, is when I started to think about it and put a proposal together and an outline and started writing some sample chapters, and Triumph Books out of Chicago signed on, and the rest is history. Very proud to see the final product a couple of months ago, and just so honored that Wayne Gretzky and Walt Clyde Frazier agreed to write the forewords, and two iconic athletes who I've had the pleasure of working with. So hope you guys enjoyed it, and hopefully some of the listeners were able to pick up a copy as well.
So now with all our interviews, we like to do a mini, some fun questions at the end, some just short answer questions for you. So we'll start that here.
What was the best game or play that you have ever broadcasted, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, it's hard to pick one. If I can give a couple, the Rangers winning the Stanley Cup in 94, I was on the call for NHL radio. I have to put the Super Bowl up there, the Giants-Patriots, the international television call. The Olympics in 2018, the women's gold medal hockey game, the Bautista home run. I know I'm leaving some out, but those are certainly the ones that come to mind.
Where does the Patriots versus Raiders failed lateral rank on there?
Actually, when I finished answering the question, that was the one that I left out, so I'm glad you brought that up. That was probably the craziest play that I've ever called. That was in Las Vegas last year, the Patriots with the failed lateral. So I was able to sneak that one into the book right before the deadline, so glad you asked about it.
What's your favorite stadium or arena you've called a game from? I know you've called games from so many, so which one?
You know, I have to put Madison Square Garden at the top of the list. That's my home arena, so to speak. And again, don't want to leave any out, but Lambeau Field, Wrigley, Fenway, Wembley Stadium, I've called 3 football games there, so those are some of the iconic, and of course Yankee Stadium, but those are some of the iconic venues that come to mind.
Some of our dream interviews are guys like Jalen Brunson and Patrick Ewing. When you were growing up, who was your dream interview?
I had the opportunity in recent years to work with Wayne Gretzky, but he was probably the one when I was growing up, watching him play, during the 80s. He would probably be the first name that comes to mind. During my childhood, it was athletes such as Reggie Jackson, here in New York with the Yankees, but because of my hockey fandom, I would probably put Gretzky at the top of the list.
What were your favorite memories growing up here in Port Washington?
Oh, there are so many. I was just talking to somebody the other day about riding my bike down Radcliffe Avenue, the big hill.
Yep.
It was always a lot easier going down than up. Going down to visit friends and heading to the shopping center. We had a bowling alley, Bay Bowl, back then at the Soundview Shopping Center. Going to get pizza there at what used to be called Luigi's and Scotto's. I don't know what it's called now, if it's even still there.
No, not there.
But playing PYA baseball back in the day. A lot of ice skating and playing hockey at Twin Rinks, which was down across from Hempstead Harbor and Bar Beach. That rink closed when I was in sixth grade, and then the Brian Trottier rink came into existence. So, I would have to put that up there. You know, all the time on weekends I spent at Twin Rinks, like I said, PYA baseball. PYA basketball as well, and just so many great memories, you know, from Daly and Sousa and Schreiber, and a lot of it has to do with when I was covering the games. You know, boys and girls basketball, football, baseball, soccer, on the various fields, and the gym at Schreiber, writing articles and really, you know, starting the journalism and broadcasting career right there in the gym at Schreiber High School, covering so many games for the Schreiber Times, and then calling that first game for Cox Cable.
What was your favorite restaurant here? I know you mentioned Luigi's, but were there any others?
Shish kebab was always a favorite of ours. Even after moving out, sometimes when I was back on Long Island, we would stop in at Shish Kebab. I remember there was a Chinese restaurant, August Moon, up Port Washington Boulevard. Benihana, we would always go to yep. Benihana up on the corner by Northern Boulevard on birthdays.
Yeah.
So that was always a big one for our family as well.
Lastly, do you have any advice for Zach and me as high school broadcasters looking to make a name for ourselves?
I would say just keep doing what you're doing, you know, getting the experience doing this podcast. You know, that was something that didn't exist back when I was your age, when I was at Shriver. What, are you guys seniors this year?
We're actually sophomores.
Sophomores, okay, so you still have a lot of time there. I would say just get as much experience as possible, whether it's doing podcasts, interviews such as this one, if you're interested in play-by-play, if there are any opportunities. And then, you know, as you start to look at colleges, so many great schools as far as broadcasting and journalism all around the country, and many of them offer, whether it's radio, television, broadcasting on the internet, a lot of the conferences, the ACC, the Big Ten have their own networks where the students are able to get involved. I would also recommend to try and get out of the box a little bit. Don't only focus on, you know, if it's interviewing and podcasts, which is your number one, you know, skill that you'd like to continue. Also, do some work in other areas, behind the scenes, producing, keeping statistics, things like that. Whether it's play-by-play, sideline reporting, working as a color analyst that you're interested in. When I was in college at NYU, amazingly, there were only about five or six of us that worked at the school radio station, so we all had a great opportunity right from the start. To broadcast the men's and women's basketball games, but we would rotate positions, play-by-play, color, producer, engineer, statistician, and we all were able to gain experience in so many different roles. So that's the biggest piece of advice, is to get as much experience as possible in as many different areas as you can.
Kenny, it's been a pleasure to have you on here with us today. Hope to catch up in the future, and yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Zach. Thanks, Gavin. Really appreciate you having me on. Great to talk about Port Washington and all the memories at Shriver. And good luck with the podcast. Keep in touch, and hopefully we can do it again someday.
Awesome. Thank you, Kenny.